Yeah, you can have fun in the city, but you might do a little sweating in the city. And one of our regular callers, James on the North Shore, called to talk about the boat races on Lake Pontchartrain this weekend between the Bonneville Boat Launch and the Bucktown Boat Launch area, where there's a marina there. That, I mean, that's just right in my neighborhood, so I'm going to have to go to the levee and watch some of this stuff. These are the apparently the big racing boats. I'm not sure what time it happens, but I'm sure it's going to be in the middle of the day. All right, Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Look, there was a lot of talk this week about the mission in Iran. It was the topic of the week. And then the reaction to leaked intel information to CNN and New York Times, this led to Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth just absolutely maliciously bashing the media, calling for people to be fired when all they did was report what was given to them. Trump didn't like the factual information that was given to them, so he's blaming the media. But this is not the fault of the media, and I don't always defend the media. Let me say this about the mission. This is what we know. The mission was miraculous. The pilots, the support team, everybody involved in this was the best that they could be. They did a miraculous job. They delivered the bombs precisely, and they made it home safely. And we should be so proud of our military. I am. And I got chills just hearing the details of the strike package that went there with those B-2 bombers. I mean, this is the United States of America. And just to see the diagram of what they did, to know that those planes were in the air for 36 hours. I mean, this was an unbelievable mission. And they delivered the bombs precisely. Then, not long after that, President Trump that night declared that we obliterated Iran's nuclear program. It didn't take long for there to be an intel report released to CNN and the New York Times. And the person who released that should be punished. Let's not just focus on the leak. Let's focus on the content of what was in that leak. The person should not have leaked that information, and they should find out who that was. And they should fire him. And I don't know, maybe they should go to jail. I don't know what the process is, but maybe that was treason. I don't know all the details about that, but that person should be fired. But that doesn't change the content that was released. And I related that this week to when Hillary Clinton's emails were released. She and the Democrats were just trying to bring all the attention to the leak, saying it shouldn't have happened, bringing all the attention to the leak. And they didn't talk about the content of the leak. The content of what was in that leak was what was important. The content about her emails, that's what was important. So it's the same thing now, but you just have different feelings because of politics. But it was exactly the same thing, and I see it that way. We don't know for sure if we totally decapitated their nuclear program. We might have. There was obviously massive damage, but we don't know if it penetrated the underground bunker. That's not the fault of the pilots. That does not demean the pilots. That simply reflects the bomb itself, and the pilots didn't make the bomb. Now, there is apparently a ceasefire. This is good. And President Trump deserves part of the credit for the ceasefire. But the bashing of the media, calling for people to be fired, was totally unnecessary. It was juvenile. It was petty, but it was very typical. Donald Trump is fragile. He cannot take any criticism. He cannot stand that anybody would disagree with him. Even when he's wrong, he can't stand the disagreement. And he acts like a petulant child when there is disagreement. So that pretty much sums up the week as far as that's concerned. But the mission was a miraculous mission, and I'm so proud of our military. But the worst case scenario would be to assume that we obliterated everything and we didn't. And then Iran goes on and builds a nuke, and it comes back to haunt us in a couple of years, or maybe in a year, or maybe in 6 months. We don't know. But let's find out what really happened. Let's find out if we did obliterate the bunker. We still don't know where the uranium is. The Iranians may have got the uranium out of there. Apparently, this uranium will fit in a Home Depot-type 5-gallon bucket. But it weighs like 800 pounds. But how are you going to keep track of a bucket? So it could have been hidden. So there are questions. I don't care how many times President Trump says we obliterated the target. We did our job. The Iranians, he said now that the Iranians are not going, he doesn't believe they're going to go on and build nukes. I think that's being very naive. I think they want to build a nuke. So we'll see what happens over time. But none of this distracts at all from the mission of the pilots. So that's one way to sum up that. Today, there is a lot of information coming out concerning the rulings with the Supreme Court. We'll digest some of this and probably talk about this some next week. Also, I've been talking about this music teacher, 22 years at St. Francis Xavier on Metairie Road. And he was fired because he's gay. And I just think the Archdiocese here in New Orleans, which is paying millions of dollars out in settlements because priests had sex with boys, I think it's hypocritical for them to fire somebody just because they're gay. It's Free for All Friday. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Harahan. Bubbles, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. How are you doing this Friday?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Hey, my comments are left over a little bit from yesterday, but, you know, every day Trump gives us more to talk about. So, but yesterday a lot of people called in and said what they were tired of. I am so tired of the most unpleasant person in American history embarrassing our country, the country that I love, because he's a petty, jealous, greedy bully and narcissist who's also a serial liar and predator. He's obviously mentally unstable and unintelligent and can't put together a coherent sentence.
Well, you forgot convicted felon. But we don't know, and I don't want to let this go. We don't know if he's mentally unstable. So I can't let that fly yet, Bubbles. We don't know.
There are signs
There are signs that there might be something going on, but I don't want to let it go that he's mentally unstable because we don't know.
All right. He also has no idea how the Constitution works or chooses not to know.
No.
When he speaks, the majority of the time he rambles and makes no sense whatsoever. And you've said this a number of times. His fragile ego cannot deal with anyone disagreeing with him, anyone. And as for MAGA, when someone lies more than 30,000, let me repeat that, 30,000 times in 4 years, those who believe him are in a cult. Now, I could go on about him, but I'm also sick of our so-called congresspeople and judges who don't have the gonads to stand up to Mango Mussolini when he goes against the Constitution or suggests ridiculous policies that will only benefit the rich and destroy the poor and the middle class. And that includes Steve Scalise, Bill Cassidy, John Kennedy. Of course, John Kennedy likes to act like Foghorn Leghorn. But don't get me started about Mike Johnson, who has no backbone whatsoever and acts like he's a Christian, but lies as much as Trump does.
Yeah,
and the Supreme Court...
I don't know how Mike Johnson stands up straight. I don't understand how he could physically do that.
No, and the Supreme Court, they're showing themselves to be a complete disgrace. They apparently don't know their role in government, but believe they should kiss the taco terror's rear all the time. I don't understand how either Congress or the Supreme Court can justify doing whatever he wants when it's destroying people's citizens, United States citizens' lives. I just don't get that. I really don't.
Well, there's a lot. Go ahead. There's a lot I don't understand either.
No. Now, for the New Orleans garbage contract, Troy Henry shouldn't have been allowed to bid in the first place. He does not have a sanitation company, doesn't own trucks or equipment. He changed the subcontractor after the bid was submitted, and I believe after it was approved. He also changed the amount of the bid. Those are the reasons the council wouldn't approve the contract. Only companies actually capable of providing the actual service should be able to bid. If the sanitation company can't even manage their own bid, what kind of job can we expect them to do with sanitation services?
Well, I would just...
The fact that he and Oliver Thomas are so close that he calls him his cousin makes the entire situation suspect. Now, someone called yesterday about the garbage pickup and said Ivy Waste reduced pickups to once a week. That's not true. The garbage pickups were reduced to once a week in October 2021, and Ivy Waste wasn't involved at all at the time. In December of 2023, Ivy Waste was chosen to service households in their service area one, and Richard's Disposal was chosen to service households in service area two. Troy Henry is also involved in another suspect project, the Old Six Flags. It was partially demolished in January of 2025, reportedly 50 or 60%. Why hasn't anything else been done in 6 months?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm also tired of people calling to tell you what you do, what you should do or not talk about. They obviously don't listen all the time. Not everybody can. But just because someone doesn't hear every word you say doesn't mean you didn't say it. And it's your show.
No, that's right, Bubbles.
So that's what I have to say on this free throw.
I appreciate that. No, it's true. And I don't want to take any more calls from people who want to call up and tell us what we didn't talk about, because we also didn't talk about the history of interest rates today. We didn't talk about the water temperature of Lake Pontchartrain or the river. We didn't talk about the visibility in the lake today. There's a lot of things we didn't get to yet today, and we don't ever get to everything. Listen, you hang up, Ian's got a text that he wants to share with you.
I got a couple texts. Bubbles, this is the power of WWL. Your comments are really making waves today, Bubbles. People are texting in stuff like, thanks, Bubbles. You really said it. Bubbles knows it all. Ask if Bubbles is single. And Bubbles, will you marry me?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I haven't had a marriage proposal in a very long time.
Well, set that clock back to zero, Bubbles.
Listen, you saucy minx.
All this information is readily available. I did research to find this. It took me maybe not even 30 minutes to find all of this.
Imagine that.
I don't understand why people don't do that, but they'll deny that that some of this stuff is true because of what they choose to see.
That's my
2 cents for this big Friday. Thanks, guys.
All right, Bubbles, I appreciate the call. And, Bubbles obviously has gotten wedding proposals in the past because she said she hasn't heard one in a while.
Nobody's asking me to marry them. Right.
Hey, you know what else we didn't talk about today? How much a product I use in my hair. We haven't talked about just a number of things we just have not yet gotten to. So shame on us.
Scoot uses three cans of Aquanet. Agree or disagree?
Oh, my God. Aquanet.
That's not how this works.
That goes back to my childhood. I think my sister had Aquanet. All right. It's Friday. All right. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez getting married in Venice this weekend. A woman is not allowed on a ride at Disney World because she was wearing a sports bra. And why are people going ballistic on airplanes? All of that coming up on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1970, this was the number one song in America. Jackson 5, Love You Safe. Fun song. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is Free for All Friday. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez are getting married in Venice this weekend. You know, he's like one of the richest guys in the world. God, I saw the yacht. I saw his yacht. I mean, it's almost like a miniature cruise ship. You could live on this thing the rest of your life. It's huge. It's just amazing. But they really have taken over Venice. And here are just some of the celebrities who are there. Orlando Bloom, Tom Brady, Kris Jenner, Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Leonardo DiCaprio, Oprah Winfrey, Gayle King, and let's see, who else is there? Oh, George and Amal Clooney, Selma Hayek, and it's one other person that, I guess that's it. Anyway, those are the celebrities that I know of. I mean, I don't know why I wasn't invited. I use Amazon Prime all the time, and certainly he's got me on record as using Amazon Prime all the time. I don't know why I wasn't invited to his wedding. Invites all these other people.
He doesn't want anybody to outshine his fiance.
Oh, that's funny. You mean I would look better than her?
Yeah.
All right, listen, this woman was denied entry onto a ride at Disney World because she's wearing a sports bra. A sports bra. I mean, a sports bra, it's like a top. The sports bra that this woman was wearing covers her, you know, boobs, and then there's also this little section, you know, down below. I mean, it's a sports bra. It's supporting the ladies. And so supporting the ladies, there's a little part underneath. So it's not just a bra. She was allowed in the park, and then she was allowed to get on some rides, but then she gets to one ride, and suddenly a ride attendant says, no, you're improperly dressed, and you can't do this. You can't get on this. She was wearing sweatpants and a sports bra. And I'm looking at a picture, and there's no reason why this woman shouldn't have been allowed on there. I mean, man, some people are just really, really retentive and uptight about stuff. And then there's this woman who recently was in a fight on a flight, and I'm sure she was intoxicated. This was a flight that she was on. It was a Southwest flight from LaGuardia to Kansas City. And she starts pulling this woman's hair, and it's shut the F up, and don't effing touch me. And she's pulling this woman's hair and fighting, and she's fighting with people who are trying to get her under control. I mean, obviously, they finally got her under control. But I mean, why do you think so many people in the last, I don't know, year or two have just been going crazy on planes? You know, we're all stressed, but why is this boiling over to the point where people feel like it's okay to just go crazy on a plane? You're never going to win that situation, ever. You're never going to win it. You're going to be the big loser. So, I mean, why even go crazy? I think people somehow have just been given permission to just express themselves in any way they feel like expressing themselves. And there's an aggression. There is a tendency for violence in the air today in America. Political violence and just violence on planes. And it's, it's really sad. But, I mean, people are really losing it.
I have I think what is going to maybe be an unpopular opinion about this.
Okay.
I'm a capitalist. I have some critiques about capitalism, but I'm not some woo-woo, you know, democratic, socialist, communist, any of that kind of thing. Okay. I think that the profit motive, the sort of compulsive need to extract every penny out of every person in every experience that we have in this country is driving us crazy. It's gotten to the point where even the experience of like being on an airplane, you know, that's supposed to be a service that is offered to us in exchange for money. But now it's become, how can you squeeze us so much to the point where we're counting the number of olives that go into the dinner that we get? You know what I mean? It's like it everything. There's a great quote from The Wire, the HBO show, where one of the characters, Frank Sabatka, says, you know, we used to make stuff in this country and now we just pick the other guy's pocket. And I think that is stressing us as individuals in a society. And I'm not excusing this drunk, insane woman's behavior. But I actually think the responsibility lies in part with the airline. And there's a great quote that I read from an airline executive over the weekend, anonymous, of course, that says, when you treat people like cattle, eventually they start to act like cattle. And so I guess kind of the shorter way is what I'm trying to say is we keep getting put in these situations where the sort of social contract, the unwritten social contract that we have with one another as Americans and as human beings on this planet, brothers and sisters, falls apart because we're being squeezed so hard at every turn.
I think that's a valid point, but that is American.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen people from Japan or China?
Totally.
Chinese people in line to get on a plane?
Mm-hmm. Very orderly.
They are totally different. You know, in Tokyo, people are jam-packed into the subways, jam-packed into the buses. And yet somehow, within their own space, they find solitude. You know, a lot of this is American. I think you bring up a valid point, but the responsibility still falls on the Americans that allow it to get to them. Mm-hmm. I enjoy flying. I want a window seat. I want to relax. I would rather not anybody talk to me, but if they do, I'm going to be very cordial and very nice. But I like to be in a Zen mode when I'm flying, and that's why I like the window seat. And I realize that there's not a hell of a lot of room. I'm not a real big person, so it's not that bad for me. But, you know, I can get frustrated too. But I just get into this Zen mode and just find my own solitude within my own body and my own self. And this is one thing that I learned studying Zen. It's one thing I learned going to Japan. The Eastern mind is different from the Western mind, and I think Ian brings up a good point, but we allow that reaction to happen to us. You know, I get on a plane and I don't expect anything. And if I get anything, I'm happy. I go onto a plane, I've got my own snacks, I've got my own beverage, I've got everything I need. I've got my own entertainment. I don't need anything from them. If I get anything, I'm happy. And I sometimes don't like that they leave the seatbelt sign on so long when it really seems to be calm and we're still climbing, but you know, we're in some really smooth air, and it seems like sometimes they leave it on a little bit too long, but that's not for me to judge. But I think that as Americans, we allow ourselves to be frustrated by things we shouldn't be frustrated by. And we could learn a lot from the Eastern mind, the Eastern mentality of being in crowded spaces and not freaking out. So think about that when you feel like you need to freak out. If you want to join us with a comment, I'm sorry, you had something to say?
It's a moment that calls for a broader examination that's not about individual behavior, but about institutional failure and the ways that how the degree to which we've prioritized profit over service invites dysfunction.
Well, you know, I get that you could cut down on the number of times you fly. I mean, people fly sometimes out of convenience. I mean, you really can drive to Disney World if you wanted to. You don't have to fly there. So if you choose to fly, you know, realize that it's going to be crowded and prepare yourself mentally for that. All right, let's go to Andre in New Orleans. Andre, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Scoob. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Because I'm sitting outside.
All right.
But anyway, you asked a question, what we thought about that teacher of 20-plus years being fired because he's gay. I just, you know what that feels like? It feels like we're on the schoolyard. We're all in grammar school, and a bunch of kids are saying, oh, look, he's gay. Oh, he's gay. And that gives them a right to be mean to him. And that's what happened to me. And the other kids just stand aside and they don't do anything against the bully. And so this feels like the same stuff that children went through on the schoolyard, but now we're adults and it plays out differently. So he's gay. And, you know, kids don't know. They don't have that sophistication because they're young. But they use that term to isolate the person. So it gives him, and that gives him another excuse to actually do even worse things to him. And that's what it feels like. Yeah. It's the beginnings of isolation to put all these other people in a class to say that they're less than, they're lower, they're the second sex, we do white people have done it with black people. We've done it with Jewish people. We do it to women. They're the second sex. And that's what this feels like. And yep. they can have all their excuses for why they're doing it. The worst excuse that they use is that it has to do with what they think is orthodox thinking on sexuality.
Yep.
And right now, we know that this archdiocese is in the midst of the longest ever running bankruptcy of any diocese in the nation. And it just came out in the paper today that sometime in July, the plaintiffs, the creditors, the 550 so people who are saying they were abused in some way by clergy, that's when they vote. And if 2/3 of the people, of the plaintiffs, vote, yes, we approve of this, then it goes to trial in November. Who knows when, if everybody votes yes and they go through the trial, it's going to be 6 whole years until anybody gets any money. So make no mistake, this has been going on for 5 years. No survivors have been paid a penny out of this, but many lawyers for the archdiocese and the bankruptcy have been paid tens of millions of dollars. And even worse, the four survivors on the committee for the bankruptcy, they were dismissed by the judge. They were impugned, and the trustee said, you should not impugn these four survivors for the actions of their lawyer. The judge didn't listen to that. And so there's been no communication between survivors and the archdiocese. They've been shut down, just as they're trying to shut down this gay person.
Andre, you just talked about so many problems the archdiocese has, that to get involved in firing a teacher because they're gay is not only the height of hypocrisy on the part of the archdiocese, but it's also just, it's ridiculous that they would even worry about that.
I would call it bait and switch.
Yeah. Well, perhaps so. Andre, I've got to get to a break. I appreciate you sharing all of that information with us. If you have a comment, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your comments here in just a moment. But I think this is the height of hypocrisy, and I'm really sad that the Archdiocese would even worry about paying attention to Mark Richards, a music teacher, 25 years at St. Francis Xavier on Metairie Road, fired because he's gay. I just think that's wrong. And shame on you. If you're judging gay people, that's not your job. Let God do that. And I don't think God's going to be as judgmental as you think he's going to be. We'll be back on WWL. All right, it's Friday afternoon, and soon this will evolve into what? Friday night.
Damn.
All right, President Trump once again demonstrates that he has very little knowledge of the Constitution, very little knowledge of civics. President Trump is threatening to sue the New York Times and CNN over unpatriotic reporting over the U.S. military intel report. He would never be able to prove that. This would be a waste of time. And, you know, once again, President Trump, this is what he does. This is the bully side of him. He just threatens to sue people. Sometimes he follows through. But I'd like somebody to do a study on how many lawsuits Donald Trump has lost. Because he does threaten to sue everybody. Let's go to the North Shore. Bob, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How are you doing? You talked me right into it.
Okay.
I've been so despondent and depressed since the election of 2024. What I figured out is that Trump just goes out into the yard and grabs a handful of canine feces and throws it against the wall.
Yeah.
To see who is going to have the courage or the gonads, as Bubble said, to scrape it off. So every time he comes up with one of these new things, whether it's an executive order or another series of lawsuits, I just consider it to be another fecal matter. And that's kind of a pun, but it's not funny when you're talking about the most powerful man in the world. And I just don't know how far we have to go to keep scraping the feces off the wall.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, Bob. I appreciate your call. I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't see this continuing for 3.5 years. I don't. I'm not predicting anything. I can't imagine that it's going to go on this level for 3.5 years. Something is going to cause a break in this kind of action. The idiocy of threatening to sue CNN and the New York Times over an unpatriotic report. First of all, I don't think you should be, but you have a right to be unpatriotic in America. This is just, again, a reminder that President Trump does not have a grasp of the basic things about the Constitution or civics or the government. And he just acts in such a way that he's a bully and just threatening to sue people. Well, you know, you can threaten to sue anybody. You can sue anybody, but it doesn't mean it's logical or you're going to win. And listen to the voices that we're starting to hear on this show. The voices that represent the Americans that voted for Trump but didn't want to, that represent the voices of the people who didn't vote for Trump. The people who don't buy into everything he says and everything he does. And there are plenty radio shows, there's plenty of media that reflects those people who love everything about Trump. And that's fine. They have a right to be that way. But we're an alternative to that. And just listen to the voices you're starting to hear on this show. These are voices of Americans. And this is a growing trend. And we'll see how this plays out. All right, you got a text or two?
Yeah, I'll try and be swift here. About the planes and people's behaviors on planes. Scoot, it's very simple. Society has now allowed violent and disruptive behavior as a proper response when you don't agree with things. We're seeing this on the streets. And we're seeing it all in politics.
Yep.
Another text says, people often lose their tempers on planes because they're all crammed into a small place. And they're often tired after a business or pleasure trip. And if you add an alcohol, they can't take it anymore. So they just explode in anger on whoever happens to be an easy target. About the teacher who was fired because he's gay. Here's a text that says, God also said, judge not unless you want to be judged. In God's eye, we're all the same. I'm not more than you and you ain't no more than me. Another text says, Leviticus is Old Testament. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And I'll leave you with this one about the balloon ban that was vetoed by the governor. Text says, doesn't the state legislator get a chance to vote to override the veto? Because the vote was unanimous.
It was a unanimous vote, and the governor vetoed it, according to Lieutenant Governor Billy Dungesser, because the governor may have had a problem with that legislator because so the legislator goofy, didn't agree with something that the governor agreed with. It's petty politics.
That has to be it. That's the only reason. Because if the chamber voted unanimously, you know they're going to come back and override that. So all you're doing is making them spin their wheels and waste more time in the next session bringing it back again for a veto override. Just to spite this one legislator. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But that's the way the thinking goes. You know, get back at somebody. Get back at a man. Get back revenge. And I agree with the mentality of many Americans when it comes to violence and the lessons that we are taught in politics. All right, look, it's going to be a hot weekend. If you're working outside this weekend, God bless you, man. Thank you for the job that you do. Thank you for delivering the packages. Then you got to get in and out of the truck, and it's hot. I get it. Thank you for what you do. If you work in the heat, thank you for what you do. The rest of us, we can just pick and choose how to stay cool. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show on WWL. All right, join Mike and Steve next from the special edition of Sports Talk. The Manning Passing Academy at Nicholls State. Thanks to everybody involved in the show, and I thank you for being part of it. I'm Scoot. Have a great weekend. Love you, New Orleans.